Isn't that what you're doing?
Of course, Dale. What am I, an idiot? I know exactly.
Well, you sound like
no,
one.
No, I don't. You do.
Dale Arnold.
Yes.
To try to take guys like
yes!
that.
Yes. Yes.
You're a moron.
You're a moron.
Rich Keefe.
It's like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah, well.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
There's no way that the Patriots kept him chained to the bench in that entire Super Bowl just for performance reasons. There's no way. I refuse to believe that.
Something happened during the week. You know, maybe an injury. Maybe it's illness.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
A little worried.
You're worried?
We okay? I mean, you know.
Who's okay?
Well, you and I, we are. I mean, it's sometimes divorces start with the simplest of things.
That's true.
And Dad asked you to load the dishwasher the right way.
I won't do it. And I'm gonna keep, I'll never be able to forget that. I'm going to hang on to that,
you know,
till the day I die.
I actually, truthfully, then it's, I'm not proud of this.
Good.
I've actually unloaded the dishwasher and reloaded it because it was loaded improperly.
Is that right?
Yeah, a little.
I feel like once the stuff's in there, it's in there.
Yeah, that's...
It's going to either get clean or it's not.
You sound a lot like my wife there with that sort of thing. Hey, it's in there!
It's fine. It's fine. As long as it shuts. That's sort of the key. As long as you don't have stuff sticking out of there. Yeah. As long as it shuts, you're fine. I'm all set.
Does Callahan, like, destroy everything where in
what's
the
wrong?
Spot?
Is the studio falling apart?
The microphone is broken. The chair is all...
They had all the TVs off for some reason.
No, the TVs are down. You know what it is? We're
what's
moving.
The problem?
Well,
we
we're
are
moving.
Moving
here.
Yeah, we are.
Friday, we're moving 30 feet down the hall.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Like, when was this going to be said? I had no idea about this.
Oh, well.
What, about the Friday move?
Don't be afraid to tune into the show.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. It's all we talk about.
You're
we love
like
it.
Even more. Guess what, Rossi? We're moving to the corner studio on Friday.
Yeah.
The control room stays where it is.
Yeah.
You won't be able to see us.
That's a good thing.
When we're doing the show.
That's true. You might like that.
So
it'll add to you're a little mysterious.
You're going
to
be there facing an empty room with construction guys in here tearing this all apart.
Sounds like a punishment. That. Sounds like a little bit of a punishment.
Kind of does.
And
like
we're
going
to be, you know, 20 feet behind you through a couple of walls. You won't be able to see us at all.
Putting on a hell of a performance.
So, you know, when I give you the hand signal, hit the brake.
It's not
we're
good.
We're done. We're done with all that.
We're going to have to
I'm
just
going
to be
hitting brakes whenever. There's going to be a lot of sirens.
That's,
we're gonna
that's
have,
different
oh
than
God,
normal.
It is.
I mean, let's
sirens.
Be honest.
That's true. Random sounds. We're going to have somebody in the hallway sort of be like the go-between.
Relay.
So then Dale can point to that person. That person can point to
what
you.
What about cans and strings? Can we
oh,
do
I like that.
That.
Like a lot of our callers. Like
I think James White was on
say,
that
James
last
White
night.
Was on that.
Trey Flowers.
Yeah.
Their phones are pretty much cans on strings a lot of the time anyway.
Very similar. Sure.
So Friday, now we're moving down the hall.
Can't wait.
So in the meantime... Everything in here has gone to hell in a handbasket.
I'm not really sure why that is. I don't know why we can't
Callahan
just finish strong.
Callahan's
here.
A fiddler. He likes the, he spends the whole morning fiddling with this thing.
I gotcha.
So I come in and it's like dangling.
It's all over the place. No, I know. So we'll have a new setup, though, in a couple of weeks. Brand new setup. New digs.
No, it's this setup moved over there. Everything's the same. It's just in a new room.
I was hoping we were going to get new stuff, but apparently that's not happening.
There's some new stuff.
Wasn't there?
There was a rumor
that there was going to be new stuff.
I looked over at the new building. There's a couple new things.
Like what? Like a microphone?
No, the recycling bin.
Oh, yeah.
That he's all excited about.
Hey, recycle, reduce, reuse, I think is important, and that's going to be ready to go. Because we don't do that here, even though we're all about no cups in the
break
room.
Our one thing doesn't include recycling.
This is breaking news.
This is not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't abuse that. People are driving off the road right now thinking somebody got traded or something. Don't do that.
There will be recycling bins.
People don't care.
That is breaking news.
Sadly,
people care about the planet.
People don't. They don't.
I think they do. I think more people care than you think.
All right. Well, I hope you're right.
Well, apparently we now do, and we didn't before.
But I am excited for that, for the move. Why not? Something new. Shake it up a little bit. Why not? Get out of here.
The move's going to be great. The show's going to sound great. It's going to be better than ever.
Crystal clear.
I'm worried about this, you guys being like in the closet behind me.
That's going to be an interesting week and a half. But hey, that's all right. You got to just roll with the punches here. That's all it is.
We got stuff going on. We got equipment breaking down. We got TVs that don't work.
People don't care.
Well, I fixed these two.
No, I know. I appreciate that. That was good.
I had no luck with that one.
So now we can
watch it. That one's
watch Get Up. That's great.
I don't dare try to change the channel.
That one works. Let's just leave it.
I barely got it, you know, operational and
that's fine.
Lit up and all that stuff.
That's good.
So we find out this morning that the Patriots were apparently hip deep on trying to acquire pass rusher defensive end Bruce Irvin. Because Bruce Irvin signed a 1-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons and then in an interview in Atlanta said, "The Patriots and Steelers offered me more money, but I wanted to go home and, you know, play in front of my hometown family and friends."
And so I guess we just take him at his word for it. right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, because that also, that immediately, well, no, now no, Atlanta's
going
to be
I've
like,
got a call into Belichick to confirm this now. He'll be calling me any minute
oh,
now.
Oh, good. Yeah, get back to us on that.
I said, give
me. Actually, just patch him through if he wants to get on.
Can you just give me the amount that you offered Bruce Irvin,
but, I mean,
Bill?
That may be true, but that's also something that you can say, and now the Atlanta fan base is like, did you hear that? He turned down more money to play for a better team. Like, he wants to be here, so they're obviously going to love him, but this was a guy that as soon as he got released, I thought was going to be a candidate to be on the Patriots. Former first-round pick, and I remember when he got picked, Pete Carroll drafted him, and that was one of those shocker first-round picks. Like, nobody thought he was going to be a first-round pick, but they took him out in Seattle all the way back in 2012. Been in Seattle for 4 years, then most recently in Oakland. You got to ask yourself.
I'd have loved him here.
So would I, but if he... What's going on there in Oakland? Like they're
just trying to get rid of anybody who can play.
Anybody who's any good, apparently.
All
I guess
John Gruden wants remaining at the end of the season is him.
Yikes.
Here I am.
Yeah.
You're paying me $10 million a year. What more do you want?
I think he would have been a nice addition to this team, to the pass rush. Like, he's not better than Trey Flowers, but another guy to sort of rotate in and keep those guys fresh.
At the pass rush
Dietrich
position
Wise,
all good.
I think that would Adrian Claiborne, and if you added Bruce Irvin. And so they obviously felt like there was a bit of a need, because we were saying the other day how they didn't make any trades. This team always makes trades at the deadline. They didn't. So then a couple of days after that, we've seen them. They tried to get Bruce Irvin. They added Obi Melofonwu.
Well done.
Thank you. They got him, safety. And Albert McClellan, the linebacker. So they added all these guys.
When I first saw it, I only saw the headline on my phone. I thought, they brought Shea McClellan back?
Shea McClellan's
no,
back.
No, that's not who it is.
No, it's Albert. Albert McClellan, his twin brother. They like twins. No, it's not true. But so they brought both of these guys in, and you're saying, all right, so they knew, even though the defense has looked better, again, the Green Bay game might have been the best game the Patriots played defensively, but I think they're not going to just say, well, we're all set now. Like, they wanted to add. So think about that. They added a linebacker. They were trying to get a defensive end, and they added a safety. So I mean, we'll see how these guys pan out.
And obviously, you're past the trade deadline, so the only way you're going to make additions is like this.
Yeah, this is it. This is it.
I don't know what the salary cap numbers are. I haven't checked Miguel's website to see how much money they have.
Mm-hmm.
It was a one-year deal for Irvin, so you know you could probably figure out a way to accommodate that.
Oh,
and according to him, the Patriots offered more.
Yeah, so they wanted him. And so maybe they're not done. I don't know what else is out there to be had. I don't know what else they can do. But I'm glad it's defense, because before the deadline, some of the rumors that we heard, the names that were attached to the Patriots were Demaryius Thomas and Golden Tate, both guys who got traded, by the way, just not to the Patriots, Pierre Garçon, Emmanuel Sanders, and you're thinking, is it they need offense? Like, they're scoring a million points. Their receivers are clicking. Like, I don't know if they need offense. But then the actual moves that they have made went the other way. And I think Tommy Kern, who will join us today at 1:30, he actually brought up the point last week with us saying how they were in on and scouted and had discussions on so many players that you don't really report like a random D tackle. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that one's
not going to get people like excited about it. So if they had interest in Demaryius Thomas, that's going to be the lead story, not all of these defensive players necessarily.
Now, interestingly enough, you think about, you know, improvement on the pass rush. I thought the Patriots did a more than decent job with the pass rush, especially in the second half with Aaron Rodgers this week.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick was mic'd up for Inside the NFL. It's on Showtime tonight. We got a little sneak peek of it, though, a little taste to wet our whistle a little bit.
Ooh.
And he's talking to his defense about the pass rush.
Hey, the pass rush is what we want. We just got to keep doing it. Hey, we got to keep doing it for 60 minutes. The pass rush is what we want, all right? Keep working it out of those guards. Keep him in a pocket. He's trying to throw us two interceptions now. We're going to get one, all right? He's just lobbing it up there. That's a great job. Keep pressing him. If he runs backwards, all right, then run him out of bounds. That's great. All right, let's stay with that rush now.
Because there's a big difference, too, between, you know, a good pass rush and then also racking up sacks. Like, this team is not a sack factory. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at their guys, and I think Dietrich Wise leads the team with 3.5. You know, Trey Flowers has, 2.5? Adrian Claiborne is 2.5. Van Noy is 2. I mean, those are their leaders. So you look at that. You have guys that are on pace for 5 sacks, 6 sacks. Like, and that's the leader. But I don't think they're going to be upset about that. Like, if they don't have that double-digit sack, you know, outside linebacker defensive end, not the end of the world, as long as you're providing pressure. And to your point, you know, the second half against the Packers, they were doing that. And so Aaron Rodgers, who is a really smart quarterback, he's going to be able to get rid of the ball often before he gets sacked. But if you're forcing him into tough throws or whatever else, that's almost as good. And so that's what I think you're going to see. And again, Trey Flowers, like, think about some of those stats that we were talking about with him and where he ranks, like, as far as, you know, pass rushing, like all this Pro Football Focus stuff about Trey Flowers. He's one of the best defensive ends in the league, and yet just the overall sack number doesn't line up with that. So there's more to it than that.
I think, though, it is an indication that, you know, obviously Belichick, and I've gotten an indication all season long, he likes his team.
Yeah.
Like, he likes these guys. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear that, you know, they listen to him, they're coachable, all those things that we heard one season, they were not. And he's figuring, you know, if I can add this, if I can just get that. And I almost think the team building part is more fun for him than the coaching part at times. He likes all that tweaking and bringing guys in and moving guys out.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think he does like the team. And we've gotten this, more often than not, he does, and there's reason to, right? The last couple of years, I feel like he has liked this team. But, you know, who would really be a problem right now? Like, who would be the guy? I mean, and I don't even think Gronk is a problem, but Gronk's like one guy where there might be kind of something going on because it was a strange offseason. He's here. He doesn't seem super happy. But the other guys seem to all fit in. And I think one of the reasons you see it is there was no surprising trade away at the deadline. Like, that could have happened. Like, if there was a guy, we would have found out about it. Yeah, they do. And, like, they could ship Jamie Collins away midway through the season. There wasn't that guy. So, and if there was, you would have already gotten rid of him at this point.
Well, isn't it also pretty obvious that, I mean, everything that he's done is focused on the defense? I mean, you know, bringing in a safety, trying to bring Bruce Irvin in. You know, it's defense, 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 which means I think he's fairly confident about the health of the guys that are missing right now on offense. I mean, the reports are Sony Michel could play this weekend. Right. We don't know Gronk's status, but they obviously don't think it's long-term.
He's like week to week, I guess.
They'd be out grabbing a tight end if they thought this was a long-term deal.
Right.
So,
and even their offensive line, when they've had guys go down, their backups they feel confident in, whether it's Waddle or Harris.
They've got the greatest position coach in NFL history taking care of that.
And then I guess the other question would be, you know, when they brought in Josh Gordon, one of the things I remember people talking about was, all right, let's say he does fit in, like he has right now. Now it gets to the point where, are they relying on him? Like, what if, worst case scenario with Gordon, he's not reliable anymore, and now he's gone. Like, is the offense still good enough, or is he too big of a part? Because that's one thing where you say the offense is good right now. Excuse me, but what if Josh Gordon? I get choked up thinking about Josh Gordon. What if something happens to him? Like, what if
you're
don't
an
have
emotional
him?
Guy and, well, and on an emotional edge apparently today? So,
but like, what do you like? I think he's going to be good to go the rest of the way, but I wonder how they feel about it. And, like, with the tardiness and things like that, like, if you removed him from the offense right now, what would it look like?
It would probably not be great.
Not as good, right? I mean, it just wouldn't be because
you've been able to get by it week to week. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson 2 weeks ago had one really good run and 10 not so good. Nine
this week
not
he was
so
better,
good.
Yeah.
This week he was fine. I wouldn't want to say, okay, Sony Michel's out for the year. This is what we're going to do going forward. I don't think they do
like,
that.
I don't think he is by any means their number one option, Josh Gordon, but he has vaulted ahead of Chris Hogan, certainly ahead of Philip Dorsett, certainly ahead of a lot of these guys. So he has become really important to them. And if you look week in and week out, Tom Brady's top targets are going to be Edelman and James White. And then depending on Gronk's health, either he or Gordon are probably going to be the number three guy. So I think that's great. I mean, they're scoring over 30 points just about every single week, so I have no problem with the offense. But you look at it, Gronk and Sony Michel, I think all season you're going to have to monitor their injuries. Like, that's just sort of the reality. That's how it started for Sony Michel. He's already missed a couple of other games. And even if he's back against Tennessee, you can't just put his name in pen and say, all right, he's all set.
So not only have the Patriots done fine offensively, you know, as you pointed out, they put up 30 points on the regular. They're going up against the worst cornerback in the NFL this weekend.
Oh my God, I feel bad for
Pro Football
him.
Focus
I really
has got the
bad.
Numbers to back this up, by the way. According to Pro Football Focus, in the Monday night game, and Tennessee won, beat Dallas, Malcolm Butler allowed 8 completions on 11 targets for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns.
But on second down, Boog, I disagree. You got to pass the ball in these situations because it's hard. It gets tight in this part of the field.
And that's what they're going to do here on second and goal. He looks back to Cooper. Can he get it?
I feel bad for him.
Now wait,
I don't feel bad for anybody.
I'm going to make it worse.
Okay.
For the season.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler has allowed 39 catches.
Okay.
For 618 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Seems high.
Every one of those numbers is the worst for a cornerback in the NFL. Those are all league highs for cornerbacks.
Yeah, but he's still out there, though.
Should have played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that. So those are two different arguments. So what? Where Belichick looks like a genius is not that decision.
It's letting him go.
Letting him go.
And not, you know, not devoting a big chunk of salary cap space to him.
Yeah, terrible free agent signing. Terrible.
And by the way,
as much as I like Butler,
bringing in Stephon Gilmore a year ahead of the departure to get him in here, get him situated. You watch him now, it's not even close. Gilmore is so much better.
Oh, Gilmore's great. Gilmore's been fantastic. But no, this is another example of Belichick not signing a guy, him going somewhere and being done. So he was 100% right to let him go and not offer him a big contract. The Super Bowl thing, though, will always still be there. Like that, how he's playing in November of 2018 doesn't change my mind about what he could have done in February. Like it just doesn't. And I don't think he was Deion Sanders by any means last year, but could he have made a tackle? And that might have been the difference in the game. So I don't want to go back and say, well, see, right again. Like, no, I think that was wrong to not play him there. But to let him go, great.
They were exactly right.
He stinks. And I know Mike Vrabel said that he's not in jeopardy of losing his job. I mean, their depth must be trash if they're like, right? I mean, if you're like, we're going to keep trotting him out there. So this is going to be
the
game.
How much of that contract was front-loaded so that they in effect, can't get rid of him?
Well, now they're getting rid of him, but they don't have to play him.
With that kind
of
money.
If he's giving up on like on this team, say Gilmore was just awful. Like, say he played the whole season like he did the first 4 games last year.
Yep.
He'd still play, but wouldn't it be more Jason McCourty, Jonathan Jones, and then and then you'd work him in. But for them to say that he's still going to play, I mean, isn't it going to be one of two things? Either he's going to have his one good game all season, or he is going to get absolutely pantsed. He is going to get absolutely every turn. They're going to throw at him every single time, and you're going to ask him to stop. You're going to say, even as a Patriot fan, please stop. You're making this guy look
terrible.
So here's
my question. Which Bill Belichick is it? Is it the Bill Belichick who professes to really like Malcolm, likes him a lot,
he
helped him win a Super Bowl. You know, it's like you said. I almost feel bad for him now. I don't want to keep pantsing him. Is it the Bill Belichick who's saying to Josh McDaniels and ultimately to Tom Brady, see that guy over there?
He is going to be
all night long. Go, 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 go.
He is probably that. First of all, that's going to happen. And it's going to get to the point where Mike Vrabel is probably going to have to take him out of the game. That's what I think. Because he's going to get picked on like he's a rookie corner who is in because of injury. Like, he's going to be one of those guys. The way he's
now,
playing,
he'll be all cranked up Sunday.
Might work against him.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? And I think this is a guy who, just from watching him, wouldn't you imagine that he puts so much pressure on himself? Just from the outside. Because his best years with the Patriots were not his contract year. Like, it was the years before that where he's like, all right, I'm a rookie. I got to prove myself. And he, you know, he's kind of a cocky kid, which I think is good, especially for that position.
Especially there.
But then last year, I think he was so
worried. I could have changed that game, though.
I think he was so worried about his contract last year that it got in his head. And he was like, I need to play really well to make a lot of money. And he did not play really well. He wasn't this bad. He wasn't Tennessee Titans bad, but he was bad. Now he's putting different pressure on himself. He's like, I got to live up to this contract. I just made a ton of money this offseason. I'm a number one corner. I better prove it. And he's not. He is awful. Last night, or Monday night, the Allen Hurns touchdown, give me a break.
I'm trying to deflect your question.
Yeah, you should try to deflect the pass next time because you were nowhere near.
Stick your hand up.
Go ahead. I mean, nowhere near. Like, he bit on this terrible double. It wasn't even a great route run by Allen Hurns, and he comes running up like he's going to get like a pick six, and then there's Allen Hurns standing behind him like he's going to fair caught the pass and score a touchdown. And then even the Cooper touchdown, that was on him. Man, has he gotten really, really bad. They're going to torch him. Brady's going to.
Is Tom going to feel bad at some point? And say, I know. Chris Hogan's wide open because he's covered by Malcolm, but I don't want to do this.
He will feel. I think he will feel bad as soon as the game is over. While the game is being played, he is going to kill.
He'll
him.
Have the arm around it. Yeah. Hey, Malcolm. You're going to be great.
We'll always have that Seahawks game. We'll always have like he'll like, I love Malcolm. He's a great player. Because the other thing too is if you say how good of a player he is and then you torch him, it makes you look even better. Like, we just did that to a good corner, even though he's not good anymore.
It's why in professional wrestling, you always build up your
opponent.
Yes,
you hype the guy up.
Until you beat them, and then you kill them.
Then you trash them. But I think it's going to be a long afternoon for Malcolm Butler, or a really short afternoon, depending on how quick of a hook Mike Vrabel has with him. Because what matchup for Malcolm Butler would you even where would you begin? It's not Josh Gordon.
If you're Vrabel?
Yeah, it's not Edelman.
It's not Gronk if he plays.
It's not Gronk.
I mean, my guess is it'll be Hogan. That's why I said his name, because I imagine that's what it's going to end up being.
Right. Yeah, I think it's just going to be.
So what happened to him?
I think part of it is the pressure. I really do. I think
he was really good.
He was awesome here.
And up through the Super Bowl win, yeah, he was really good. Now, he wasn't so good last year.
Yeah,
by his own admission, he wasn't so good. I think the pressure of the contract year got to him. He even kind of hinted at that.
Yeah.
He wasn't the same. And if anything, now that he's got the big contract, he's gotten worse.
He has gotten worse. But I think that it's like a different kind of pressure. It's like, now I'm living up to this contract, and he hasn't been able to do that. I think, again, it's not like he went from all pro to the worst player. Like, it was a step back last year, and now it's another step back this year. I don't know if part of it is it this scheme that he's in now. Like, is he just trying to get used to that? Because, again, it took Gilmore some time, not this long, but it took Gilmore time last year. And now look
at
him.
But you could see a progression.
You could, but the first 4 weeks, I thought it looked like a terrible signing.
You almost wonder, and believe me, we're not going back through the why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl thing again.
Why didn't he play?
We're not going there. But you almost wonder if that steady regression that we saw during the season was weighing on Belichick's mind. You get to the Super Bowl, and it's like, look, he's been regressing all season long anyway. We're in the biggest game of the year.
Well, and that's why I'll say I can reluctantly.
When he said it was a football decision, it may have been just that.
Well, I can reluctantly talk myself into him not starting. Under no circumstance can talk myself into him not playing at all. Like, that's where I stop.
And to your point, you know, they didn't offer him a bunch of money to stay.
No.
And clearly now you look at it and you say, they were right.
They got that right. In fact,
what do you think Tennessee thinks about that contract right
now? Awful. They hate it.
They love the guy.
On Monday night.
They hate the contract. They hate the performance.
You should have seen on Monday night, you know, he could do like a little Twitter search. And I just searched Malcolm Butler. That's all I wrote. And on Twitter, it pops up everybody that's mentioning Malcolm Butler. And it's mostly Titans fans.
And not so good.
Hate him. And I know Twitter can be a cesspool no matter what. Like, it's negative for whoever. But on Monday night, watching him give up touchdowns, you know, worst free agent signing ever. Like, worst free agent, you know, this offseason. Just they hate Malcolm Butler down there.
And the question is, will the Patriots make his life a living hell on Sunday?
Yes, they will. Because that's what they do.
But
they
then take feel bad about it.
A little bit. The Patriots take advantage. If a team is, you know, we've seen years and game plans, whether it's McDaniels or Bill O'Brien or Charlie Weiss even, if there's a team that's really good at stopping the run but can't stop the pass, they'll throw the whole game. Or vice versa. If it's a team that can't stop the run, like the Indianapolis Colts, they'll just run the whole time. Now, if you have a corner who is playing this bad, they're not going to take it easy on him. He's going to get absolutely torched.
Jason, you see this signal where I'm saying I'm going to the break now? As of Friday, you're not going to be able to see that anymore.
No, it's too
bad. So, you know what we'll do is I'll yell down the hall.
Jason! That'd be good.
I could do that. Maybe we'll just yell down the hall to you and let you know we're getting ready to go to a break.
I think it could work.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Play man coverage, you have to look at your man, and you know Malcolm knows that, and we talked about that, and we continue to practice it, we continue to coach it, and we try to show it to him. And so when he does that, it's pretty good. It's competitive. He challenges the receivers, and then you know when you look back at the quarterback, your man has a tendency to go another direction.
Does LeSean deserve a look there, Mike?
I don't think at this point in time, no.
Why not?
Because I don't think he's as good as Malcolm in the way he practices and where I see him going. But you know, we'll continue to evaluate that, you know, like we do all the positions on the roster. But I don't think that that's necessarily the case, not right now. And I think that if he had to go in and, you know, when Simsy has gone in for us, he's done some good things, and there's some things that, you know, he needs to continue to work on and practice. But we like where Sims is at, and we want him to continue to develop and be a leader on our special teams and be able to help out at corner.
What the hell was that? Dale, do you want to be the stenographer for the rest of the show?
I'm busy right now.
Keep track of everything?
By the way, I just...
How aggressive!
I just hit a bunch of keys at random on Google.
Oh, that's not good.
And it came up to Federal Registrar, significant new use of on certain chemicals.
Oh, there it is. That's what you're looking for.
Every key I could hit.
That guy was insane. Like, how do you even do
it? Hey, sir, you got a function on your phone. You can record this whole thing.
Ridiculous. So I know Matt Patricia was mad about the one guy because he was slouching at the press conference. How does Vrabel not stop that guy? Like, you got it easy with the keys. You're driving me nuts here. The guy's just, like, taking serious notes there. That's not, like, a regular keyboard either. Is that a typewriter, Rossi? What do you mean? That's nothing to do. It's not a key to the game.
It's easy on the keys.
All right.
That's definitely
all right,
a typewriter.
All right, you win. Fair enough. Good one. Great job.
You know, the only thing that was missing was the little ding and then sip.
Well, I was trying to listen to what Vrabel was saying.
I couldn't.
I was very distracted, but I did like what the one guy was saying was, who was the one corner he was asking about? Because he was like, hey, does so-and-so deserve a chance? I don't even know who he was talking about, but he's like, Butler is so bad. They're like, can you try somebody else? And Vrabel's like, no. We're good. We like what we have here.
Actually, it was hard for me to hear what Vrabel was saying.
It was very tough.
He was getting a little overwhelmed there.
He's
but.
Like, would you like to try anybody else that's on the roster instead of
Does
Malcolm
LeSean
Malcolm?
Deserve a look?
Oh, LeSean.
There, Mike?
I don't think at this point in time.
Why not?
Because I'm so distracted by your typing.
Practices and where I see him. Going.
So he's talking about LeSean
Imagine
Sims.
If that same reporter was doing that in front of Matt Patricia.
Oh, yeah. You're
Matt Patricia would be taking hostages at this point.
He'd be so upset.
Do me a favor. Just kind of sit up.
Yeah, come on.
Like, have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this.
Yeah, come on. This is a really serious thing. Come on. Come on. I'm a football coach and you're a media member. Let's clean it up.
So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you.
Come on. What are you doing? What do you think this is? This is serious business.
It's sports.
Yeah, I'm asking you a question. I'm writing a story about how awful your team is. Like, get over it. I'm going to lean back in my chair a little bit. So he's asking about the other guy in Tennessee. He was like, what about LeSean Sims, who's another corner on their team? Like, nope. We feel nothing to see here. Malcolm Butler's our guy. This could be it. And this is probably, you could probably compile a list of guys that Bill Belichick didn't sign. And then we're terrible.
Ding!
And then we're bad. Think about it. Go back to 2014 for a second. It's very distracting. Go back to 2014.
That's what I was waiting for. That.
We're doing this whole show.
Just this? Are they actually typing what I'm saying, at least?
We are, yeah. This
okay.
Lucy.
And then you guys can have a press release of, like, what we, you know.
Lucy, transcript. Dead serious. Transcript. Lucy, you got to answer this. Have you ever typed on a typewriter?
I have not, but I've seen a typewriter in person.
I've seen one in the wild, and they are
in
quite
an antique
a sight.
Store in my hometown. Yeah. I didn't think you ever had, and I can't even remember the last time I did.
My dad actually owns a typewriter.
Does he use it?
He loves antiques.
He used to use it. He used to write everything on it.
Dear Lucy, bread
also
and
had
milk.
A washboard.
Love dad.
Good for him. All right, Rossi, I'm going to have to ask you to honestly cut it out with this. It's driving me nuts.
A texter wants to know if that's just simply Morse code.
It could be. Maybe the guy's like, send help. We're being held hostage here in Tennessee. Please help us. That is very, very distracting. But Mike Vrabel, my point was, Dale, 2014, as I try to catch back up to it, 2014, remember all the young defensive players that they had, and the goal was maybe you can sign all of them. And I remember Robert Kraft saying that, oh, yeah, Darrell Revis isn't coming back. Because we can't spend a lot of money on Revis because, and he didn't name them, but you knew who he was talking about. He was talking about Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, Malcolm Butler.
And we got rid of most of them.
All of them, with the exception of one, are gone.
Dante's still here. Everybody
and the only
else.
One, I believe Chandler Jones is still really good. Jamie Collins, you don't really hear a whole lot about. Every once in a while he'll maybe flash, but I don't think the Browns have been thrilled with what they've gotten from Jamie Collins. And then you're seeing firsthand what's happening to Malcolm Butler. And even Dante Hightower's been kind of up and down, and obviously he's dealing with injuries all the time. But those four guys, just on that 14 Super Bowl team, we were thinking, oh, man, the future is bright defensively, and now they only got one left.
A texter says, so when Malcolm Butler gets released, would Bill bring him back?
No.
No,
not the way he's playing. Now, I always thought he would be a guy, because he's such a good tackler, that could move to safety. And maybe he's already at the point. Usually, corners, you know, with the exception of like Devin McCourty, usually corners at like 30 or so, they'll switch and start to play safety. Malcolm Butler's 28, but maybe that's the next thing for him because they're going to try to have to salvage his contract a little bit. So I wonder if you put him at safety. And like, I think he could be a good free safety. Now he's not worried as much about covering guys man-to-man, which does not seem to be
anywhere.
A strength. Well, yeah, but he can still tackle. At least I think he can. Now, it's hard to tackle when the guy's nowhere near you, like Allen Hurns was last week. But yeah, maybe that's something that they have to do for him.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We are both concerned about Malcolm Butler's mental health in the aftermath of what could happen on Sunday.
He's going to get torched.
It's going to... No, I like pantsed better. You pants. Used that earlier.
Yeah, he'll get pantsed and torched, which is the worst combo, really,
like
imaginable.
Porked and...
Porked. Oh, goosed and porked.
Goosed and
yeah,
porked.
Yeah, goosed and porked. Yeah, probably.
Goosed, porked, and pantsed.
Yeah, it's a really...
That's like the hat trick, isn't it?
It is.
The hat trick
Good
of happiness.
Good luck to him.
Goosed, porked, and pantsed, and have a nice day.
Tough night.
And then he'll have a game-saving interception at the goal line at the end of the game.
He might.
Just to have everybody's head explode
what
around
per, what percentage chance do you give it him having his best game of the season?
Not very good.
Yeah, I know. He's been so bad.
He's going against I don't know if you've heard, a pretty good quarterback.
That's right.
Guy who's usually pretty good at getting guys in the right places.
Yeah, I've heard.
And if we assume... big assumption.
Yeah.
But if we assume that Sony Michel is back, all of a sudden those receivers.
Right. Opens those guys up even a little bit more.
That might not be a good thing for Malcolm.
No.
Let's get to the call. 617-779-7937. Zach is in Manchester. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
What's going on?
So I understand the whole Malcolm Butler debate, but you realize there's 10 other guys on the field that are playmakers. For the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I don't know if they're all playmakers. I mean, he's supposed to be one.
Kevin Byard led the interception last year, or tied for the leading interceptions last year.
Are you backing up or somebody else backing up?
Someone else is backing up.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to load the typewriter into the van.
Wait,
there.
So what's your point? You think Malcolm Butler's not as bad as we're saying, or what?
No, I believe so, but I believe there's other people that can help out.
Yeah, but sometimes when it's man-to-man and he's getting absolutely torched, he's not always going to have help, is my point. And it doesn't seem like he can cover anybody right now. All right. All right. So,
Jason, you're not helping.
I'm like, very uneasy right now between the typewriting and then now the beeping of the horns.
Here's the issue you have.
No, I know. I mentioned that to Rossi.
No, now he's discovered other buttons now. Yeah. And you specifically said find some other buttons, and now he has. And
so anyway, his point was that
that was a giant sign.
They're loaded with playmakers. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but again, Malcolm Butler. Okay, there are certain times where there might be a safety, and you know the safety's supposed to help him. And depending on what the coverages are, like I get that. But corner is one of those positions where the really good corners get a ton of credit for being really, really good and making plays and coming up with interceptions or being so good that opposing quarterbacks don't even want to throw to their side of the field. Like for years, Richard Sherman, teams wouldn't even look that side. Malcolm Butler right now seems to be the opposite of that, where they're going to identify where he is and throw at him. And Brady's going to be no exception.
Texter wants to know if they're going to boomerang his Twiggy.
They could. That might make sense.
They might actually do that. John's in Rhode Island. Oh, see, Lucy had that look on her face. She wasn't here yesterday. Trust us, Lucy. It's not as dirty as it sounds.
It's a hockey term,
I
Lucy.
Heard it.
Come on.
Jeez. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hi.
I
believe that this Sunday coming up, Malcolm Butler's career with Tennessee is decided on this game. Ooh. I think that if he can't wake up for a game against the Patriots, he's not going to be able to wake up again.
Well, I don't think he's going to die, but...
Well, no, his career, not his life.
Oh, okay.
Not his life. He's suggesting his career. I think
his career as a Titan.
I think, yeah, I think there's a chance that this weekend might be when he either gets benched as a corner or they start to really consider moving him to safety. Like, like if you're getting,
can you do that in the middle of a season though? I mean, the benching you can do anytime.
Nah,
the move to safety, can you do that in the middle of the year?
Start to convert him. Yeah, because what are you going to do? Just keep trotting him out there? He's the worst. But Pro Football Focus has him as the worst corner in the NFL. Like,
he's given up more catches, more yards, and more touchdowns than any other cornerback in the National Football League.
Awful, and it's only going to get worse.
I agree, though. I think it could just be an adjustment period.
Maybe. So, fair enough question. I just wonder how long that can last. Because, like, with Gilmore, not that all players are the same. With Gilmore, it lasted 4 games, and then he adapted to the new system, and then he was really good. Or maybe they even adapted to him a little bit. if you think about it, first four games, I felt like they played a lot of zone, and then they opened it up more to, all right, this is what you do. We paid you a ton of money. You're going to play more man. But I don't even know what Butler does well right now. Like, it's just, it's a shame.
It's a funny thing here, and this happens from time to time. You know, Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Malcolm Butler. It happens from time to time where Belichick will make a decision, and we'll tell him that he's an idiot. Mm-hmm. The hell are you thinking? I mean, what do you? Mm-hmm. How could you let that guy go? How could you trade that guy? How could you, you know, move away from this guy? And then it almost always turns out that he was right. There might be a common thread here. He knows more football than we do.
He does know more football, but you can't.
And he knows
stop.
Football players better than we do.
But it doesn't mean you can't question him. I mean,
oh no, we will. No, no, we keep doing
and
it.
You got to keep
and
doing
we're
it.
Almost always wrong.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he has a better good winning percentage, but we don't rip him for everything that he does.
I just mean in terms of the players, almost always. I mean,
no, but like when they drafted Dominique Easley and people like myself were saying, this guy's blown out his knee twice already. There's a reason why he fell in the draft. Is that really a good pick? And then you get people calling and be like, what do you know more football than Belichick? Like, no, I don't. I just don't think that's a good pick. And then turns out it was a terrible pick. So, like, there are times like that, or he drafts Cyrus Jones in the second round. There are certain moves that he makes. Maybe more of them are draft-related. Trades, he seems to win. Trades, it's hard. And, you know, Nick Caserio gets some credit with that, too, and some of the other guys in the front office and the scouts and everything. Trades, he seems to hit on. Now, the Chandler Jones one's interesting because that one, I still think it has something to do with the whole synthetic weed and that whole episode. Even though he didn't get punished right away, right. I think it was sort of like, all right, we're done with you.
We can't do anything now.
Plus, he was going to make a lot of money. But he turned into – Chandler Jones turned into what? Was it Joe Tooney, Malcolm Mitchell, Jonathan Cooper? So, like, I don't know if you really won that
right.
trade necessarily. And Jones is still good, but would you have given him the money? So, like that's one. Whereas, like, Jamie Collins hasn't really come back to bite you at all. It's not like he's lighting the world on fire. And then Malcolm Butler is maybe the greatest example that we've had to date where here's a guy that a lot of people wanted – I wanted him. I wanted to give him the money 2 years ago. Just, hey, extend the guy. Nope, that was the right decision to let him go.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. He's going to come in there and hit you hard your house pets are going to hurt. I'm just telling you, it's happening.
I don't like it.
Duh.
Running hot.
Again?
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
I was saying that generally speaking, it seems like Bill Belichick makes a personnel decision. He moves on from a guy and we kill him for it. And then ultimately we go, okay, all right. Like Malcolm Butler is the example we're using today. Is that going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Depending on how long Brady plays.
He's hurt now. No, I understand
I think it's fully on how long Brady plays. If Brady hangs it up after this year and then Garoppolo, and again, it's tough right now. It's too bad that he's hurt. But if Garoppolo has a great career for like 10 years and is really good, then yeah, I think you'll look back on that one and say you wish they could have done it differently. But if Brady plays a couple more years and they're a Super Bowl contender this year and next year even, like I'm good with it. Like it was a brutal decision to make, right? And so we won't really know for sure until it plays out. But
if he stinks. Now,
well, that too.
That's a little harder to picture. But yeah. I don't think I ever pictured Malcolm Butler being like this either.
But also Malcolm Butler, how many people by the end of last year wanted Belichick to give him a ton of money? I think more people were on board, say, the year before when Butler was upset. Remember, and there was the thought that he was going to get traded to the Saints. Remember, he visited the Saints. It was that whole weird thing. Then when they traded for Brandon Cooks, you thought that Butler was eventually going to be part of that deal. If you said to me then they were going to sign Butler to a four-year extension, I would say, great. But by the end of last year, I think everybody was just like, all right, he's gone. Like, you got Gilmore, he's really good, and you'll figure it out. That, unless I'm forgetting, I feel like most people were ready for him to be gone by the end of last year.
Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, the thing with Belichick is the ability to properly assess value for talent. You know, Kraft, I think it was a recent interview, went and he was talking about what stuck with Belichick or why he brought in Belichick to be the coach to begin with. And it was when he was leaving after the Super Bowl against the Packers. And Kraft asked him, he said, well, you know, who should I re-sign? Because, you know, the cap and all the rules were suddenly new. And he said, on a kind of a bang for the buck thing, to re-sign Troy Brown. And that is what stuck with Kraft, was Belichick went and hit the bullseye on that. It's not just the coaching, it was that ability. And you have to remember, in the NFL, everybody gets the same amount of money. It's how do you properly divide that money up and spread it around amongst the team? How much value do you get on field for the amount of money you're giving them? And Belichick is almost unerring in that ability to say, I'm going to pay this much money for this talent level or for this position, and I can get, maybe I'm not going to get a guy that's as good, but I can get him for half as much, and then I can, you know, use that money to get somebody else somewhere else.
It's funny because, and I happen to agree with you, but if you think about this 20-year run the Patriots are in right now, when you consider that the league is set up to make everybody, you know, a 500 team,
mm-hmm.
and the salary cap is set up so that everybody has the exact same resources to play with, and yet this team has had this basically 20-year run of incredible quality. Now, part of it is Brady. I understand that.
Yeah.
But a big chunk of that is the guy making all the financial decisions. We kill him when he says, you know, he puts a value on a guy and he doesn't err from it. Nope. This is what that position is worth. This is what I'm willing to spend for that. And we kill him for it when they move on. And then they just keep winning 13 games and 14 games.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see like who they decide to spend their money on and when they do it. Right. Like, so Devin McCourty was the guy that they made him play his entire rookie deal. Then he was even going to talk to other teams. Then they decided to pay him. And maybe they overpaid him, but they made sure to keep him. Other guys like Gerard Mayo at a time made a lot of money. Vince Wilfork did, but it took
Shaq
a little
Mason
while.
Now.
Shaq Mason now, yeah. And they, you know, even when they were signing Marcus Cannon at all these extensions, and you're like, what are they doing with this guy? But then that ended up working out. But I still think some of their best seasons have been, and some of it is luck, not necessarily luck, but like getting Darrell Revis in 14, like that happened.
And they knew they were only going to have him for the year.
They had him for the year, but like that idea of being willing to kind of load up for the year, or also Revis's contract was so screwy and like he wasn't going to come back the next year, but it happened where he was available and then there they are. You know, like Josh Gordon, for example, doesn't make a lot of money because of past reasons, like
right,
because
right.
of him, and then he became available and they were able to pounce on it. Like Belichick, we know, loves value, but every once in a while you are going to have to spend big money, and they usually get that right.
And Tennessee spent big money
yeah.
on a guy that the Patriots did not value as much.
On the wrong
and
guy.
Right now Tennessee's got to be going, what the heck were we thinking?
Because think about Gilmore. I mean, they gave Gilmore a ton. Gilmore's made more money. Think about all the defensive players for the Patriots. None of them have had a contract as big as Stephon Gilmore's. And that was the guy that played for the Bills, and you're like, all right, yeah, they're bringing him
Bills?
In? Like, what is this? Like, and that's another case of a team you feel like that likes another team's players more than their own players. Right? Like, that's happened to the Red Sox a lot, where it's like, John Lester? Like, David Price? Oh, we'll bring him
let's
in.
Go pay him.
So they bring in Gilmore, and it looked kind of ugly at first, but since then, it has proven to be the right signing.
Scott's in Peabody. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going
up?
On?
You guys are wrong on Chandler Jones, man. If we had him last year, we would have won the Super Bowl. I mean, he's on a crappy team, but if you look at his number of sacks, we could have used him last year in the Super Bowl. They did not win that trade.
I got to be
I didn't say they won. They probably lost.
What
but,
we said is that they didn't value the sack as much as you do.
No, but I would
for the first time in a while, you guys should say they were wrong about that. If they would have won the Super Bowl last year.
No, I did. Hold on a second. I did say that, but my point is, last year was not, he was not under contract with the Patriots last season. It would have been 16 that they would have had him, and that went pretty well. They didn't need him that year. But my point is, they would have had to give him a huge contract, which I don't think they were going to do.
They weren't
going to
do.
Whereas you can make an argument that you don't trade him in his contract year, you play him out in his contract year, you don't get those draft picks, and maybe you win the Super Bowl. But guess what? They did win the Super Bowl. So it was like, that one's tough. I'm with you. Chandler Jones, significantly better than Tooney, Mitchell, and Cooper, and he's a great player.
And he's
making the
same as those three guys combined.
Much more.
Yeah.
I mean, much more. Like, would you, I don't know if they would have paid him.
If Arizona had a winning record last year, he would have been the defensive MVP.
But you're,
yeah, I don't think you're getting my point.
You're misunderstanding what we're saying. We know what he can do. They don't value it to the same amount of money as you do in Arizona does.
Yeah, that's poor. That's a poor judgment on there.
No, it's not. Most of their judgments are really good.
We haven't had a pass rush in forever.
You understand. So the year they traded him away, they won the Super Bowl. Like, I'm with you. Chandler Jones is super talented. I wanted them to keep him for the contract year. I did. But it's really hard to argue the other side because they didn't prevent them from winning the Super Bowl that year. They won the whole thing. Yeah. Now, the next year, they would have had to give him $100-something million, and I just don't think they were going to do that. So your stance is they should have given him whatever it took.
He got way better than he was in New England when he left New England.
I don't know
way
if that's better. True.
I don't think
that's true. All right, he had more sacks his last year in New England than his first year in Arizona, if you're looking at that number.
How many sacks do you think he had last year?
He led the league last year with 17, but I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about the year before, the year that they let him go. He actually had more sacks his last year with New England. Scott?
But you're not really hearing my point. They let go what could have been a defensive MVP.
You're not hearing my point.
They weren't going to pay that amount of money for that player.
So call him on it.
I don't think they're wrong.
Yeah, see, I do factor in his little shirtless routine with the synthetic weed in front of the Foxborough Police Department.
Yeah,
there's
but who
something
amongst
there.
Us hasn't had that
true.
Happen?
True. Maybe. I mean, what did Chris Carter say? It was like angel dust, remember? Whatever he said.
Whatever it was.
But, like, that, to me, did factor into, is that the kind of guy you want to give? What was it? What was his contract? His like cap hit is $12.5 million this year. He is one of the higher paid defensive players in the league. He's also very good. I'm not disputing that. And I think the caller would have a better argument if last year was the year that he was under contract, right? Like the way last season played out, and if he was on that defense against the Eagles, okay. And you know what? The way the first three quarters were going, you could say, hey, they could have used him against the Falcons, but it didn't matter ultimately.
Chandler Jones signed a thing. $31 million total guaranteed money, $51 million. And now to your point, 2017, he's making $7 million, but then he cashed in. He became a free agent. They signed him to the big deal. 2018, his base salary is $12.5 million. Next year, it goes to $16.5 million. Then it goes to $15.5 million. They were not going to pay that money for that guy.
No, they weren't, because he was a first-round pick, so they had him. It was a five-year deal, and they had him. He played 4 years in New England. Then, you know, before the draft, they traded him away. They got a second-round pick in Jonathan Cooper. And I remember people being like, well, Jonathan Cooper was a first-round pick. He sucks. He's done. Don't forget about him. Then they took that second-round pick, and they turned it into Tooney and Mitchell. And after the Super Bowl that Mitchell had, there was also, you know, members of the fan base saying, hey, like, look at this. It's actually maybe even a win. But ultimately, Chandler Jones is a great defensive player. And if you wanted to spend that kind of money, that would be more your knock, was that they should have given him this enormous contract, like given him the Stephon Gilmore type of contract.
See, that's the thing. If they had kept him the year they traded him, they weren't going to do better than they did. They won the Super Bowl. And they weren't going to have him for last year.
And also, one of the guys that has taken, you know, his time is Trey Flowers, who is, again, he's not going to have 17 sacks like Chandler Jones. But I wonder if you asked Belichick and if you asked, you know, the coaching staff, how much of a drop off is there? Like, how much do you value Trey Flowers? And not to say you couldn't have both, you couldn't use both. But I think, you know, financially, that's one of the places where they're going to. They probably think it's a positive.
And to your point, which I thought was exactly on, I think what happened to him absolutely weighed into their decision.
I think it has to.
They're now sitting there saying, okay, he's going to be a free agent after this year. He's going to get big money, as we said, five years, $82.5 million. Do we dare take a chance on putting that kind of money? We don't usually do that for that position anyway, but do we take a chance on doing it on a guy who was, you know, huddling on the tarmac outside of a police station without a shirt on.
Yeah, that's weird. And I mean, they know him better than we do, obviously, but I just, from the outside, I was like, well, that might be it for him. But I think there was still a question of, do you play out the contract and you let it, you know, do you see what happens there? They decided not to do it, you know, and same thing with Jamie Collins. They got to a point with him where that one was even crazier because they started the year with him. And then halfway through the season, they say, all right, we're gonna move on from Collins. So those were two guys that you thought they hit on in the draft and were going to be a part of this team for the next 5-6 years, but they've moved on from both.
By the way, this year, just this year, with that same contract, which they wouldn't have given him, but for the sake of our argument, he'd be the highest cap number on the New England Patriots this year.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Ahead of Brady, ahead of, well, everybody.
Gilmore and Gronk and everybody, yeah. And I just don't think they were going to do that. You know, again, has the pass rush been the problem? Again, we started the show talking about, like, you know, the sack numbers are not gaudy. You know, Chandler Jones so far this year has 6.5. I think the Patriots as a team have 13. So the number doesn't jump out at you, but is that really how much has that let them down? And I think it's actually gotten a little bit better. Like, all of a sudden, Adrian Claiborne has now shown up the last couple of weeks, whereas early on in the season, you were wondering if he was even out there.
Sean's in Rhode Island. Hey, Sean.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the whole why Josh McDaniels decided to stay.
Okay.
I think that basically he accepted the job. I'm gone. And then if you remember, he had a heart-to-heart with the owner.
Kraft, yes.
And I think what happened was he's like, you stick around for a year. This is your team next year. Because Belichick's walking away. I think he's done.
Based on what?
That conversation. That's what he's
saying. No, I'm saying
how.
Based on how much is there more to accomplish? I'm almost 70 years old. How long am I going to do this?
I got to be honest, I see no indication that he's thinking, okay, this will wrap it up for me.
I think he might outlast the ball.
Why else is McDaniels going to accept a head coaching job and then come back? Like, it doesn't
They offered him a boatload of money, and maybe even ultimately what they can't do is say to him, you're the next head
Straight
coach
up.
Here. There are legalities involved. They can't do that.
But, Sean, I don't think you're...
But said, like, you know what? I'm done. Because basically you accept the job and then you decline it after you've accepted it. You're done in this league.
Oh, I don't think that's true at all.
You should be, but you probably
aren't. No, he's not done.
You should be. But I think, Sean, I think your point, I don't know how soon the timeline is, but maybe they sort of gave him the handshake agreement that in a couple of years. I don't think it's Belichick's done this year.
After this year.
But I think a couple of years it could be.
I mean, I don't know how much longer he's going to coach. I think he's going to coach beyond Brady, but that's me. I think he's absolutely going to coach here beyond Gronk.
I think Gronk goes this year, Brady goes next year, Belichick the year after that.
Didn't Belichick do this in the past?
Do what?
Took a job.
Yes, and then resigned as HC of the NYJ.
Yeah, but that was a weird circumstance, too.
Oh, and this McDaniels thing is just so normal?
Do you remember the reaction in New York?
Oh, I do remember the reaction.
Somewhere we got to find it. The Chris Russo, they were doing the whole press conference thing, and he runs up to the speakerphone and starts screaming at them. And,
but that whole thing was weird. And watching the two Bills documentary and like the way Parcells was, that one was very strange. No, I mean, they both were, I guess. But this one I felt was a little bit different.
We'll try to find it and bring it back next hour. We're also going to talk about whether Craig Kimbrell's going to come back to the Red Sox and whether, in fact, the Red Sox have decided, you know what, the closer position, quote-unquote, may not exist for us next year the way it has in the past.
Oh, boy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.